Now we're going to review three screen reader companies, them being Synthavoice, or what now is Synthavoice, Freedom Scientific, and GW Micro. We're going to talk a little bit about what things were covered on Main Menu during the past 5 years in relation to these companies. Let's go ahead and get started now with Synthavoice on Main Menu.
In late January 2002, Main Menu reported on the sad death of David Costishan of Synthavoice, a Canadian company who developed Window Bridge, probably the first Windows screen reader, the product which led the way in the screen reading industry. At this year's ACB convention in Birmingham, Alabama, during the Blind Information Technology Specialist Showcase, those in attendance heard the following exciting announcement.
My name is Travis Siegel, and few folks who know who I am, but not many. Anyhow, I would like to make an announcement about Window Bridge is now being supported again. I'm not sure how many of you folks have used it before or if at all.
11 years ago.
Yes, many years ago. But, yes, it was the first Windows screen reader, actually. Yes, and what had happened to make the thing go belly up on us was that the actual programmer, I guess David Costishan, died a couple of years ago, and the product was kind of left without any support, without any direction or anything like that. And I've spent the last year and a half kind of negotiating with David's brother, Glenn. And I finally managed to procure the source code. It arrived last Wednesday, as a matter of fact. I haven't had a chance to do anything with it yet, but I do plan to. First things first, of course, I got to make sure everything works. Second thing is to produce an XP version. So that will be coming. That's going to be a top priority. Hoping to have it out before the end of the year. I still have plenty of copies of the existing ones. If you're not using XP, if you have 95, 98, or 2000 or ME, it'll work with that. There's a few copies left of the shrink-wrapped originals, so those are available for sale if needed. There is a mailing list. There's also a website. You can go to windowbridge.ws for website, or you can use .net or .org. .com was taken. I couldn't use that. But there is a mailing list. There's also a there's going to be a support form as far as where you can submit bug reports, so that some of the things that didn't get fixed, maybe I missed them in the mailing list. I have a complete archive of the old mailing list that I'm going to go through and pull out anything that looks like a bug that needs fixed and that sort of thing. So hoping to do real well with this. I'm hoping to get something out by the end of the year that's going to put us back in the running as a screen reader. I'm going to need lots of beta testers, especially for XP. So if you want to do that, go to the website. Again, it's windowbridge.ws. And email support at windowbridge.ws and just tell me that you were here at the conference and that you want to beta test it. I'm also going to need folks who have different Braille displays and speech synthesizers and things, because obviously I don't have them. Now, the thing is, I'm not trying... It will compete with JAWS and WindowEyes, but that's not my primary intent. My primary purpose here is to bring choice back into the market. Right now, there isn't much of a choice. Generally, the rehab folks, either you get JAWS or you get WindowEyes, and that's all you have. You don't even get to pick most of the time. I'm hoping that Window Bridge can at least offer another possibility. I'm not targeting people that already have screen readers, although I wouldn't object if they want to join up. But my primary intent is just to offer an alternative to the existing screen readers. So,
good to have you back.
Glad to be back. I'm certainly glad that this worked out.
Yeah.
So, thank you very much. Yes, I'm sorry.
At this stage, is there anything you can identify that Window Bridge does that the others don't do?
Okay, the question was at this point, is there anything I can identify that Window Bridge does that the other screen readers don't? Unfortunately, I was never a registered user of Window Bridge.
I'll tell you the thing that it did. One thing that it did do was it was seamless between Windows and DOS.
Yes, it was.
Back and forth.
Absolutely.
Completely back and forth.
And one of the things that I also plan to do to make it easier for other screen readers to do is Window Bridge has complete macro control over the keys and what gets assigned to where. Oftentimes, a big complaint I hear from people is that I don't want to learn another screen reader's key combinations. So the first thing I plan to do is to create keyboard macros that emulate JAWS keystrokes and emulate WindowEye's keystrokes, so you don't have to learn a new screen reader.
It goes without saying that Main Menu has always stayed up to date on the latest breaking news stories in the Access Technology community. Let's go back now and listen as we review what took place with Freedom Scientific in the years 2000 and 2001 on Main Menu.
People with their ears close to the ground in the blindness technology industry know that Ted Henter and Dean Blasey are good friends, and that they've often talked about how one day they'd like to merge their two companies. Yet it's such an old story that most people stopped listening to the rumors that would quickly surface and vanish. Yet for most people, it was a shock to learn that a new company in the disability market, headed by the former CEO of a medical supplies company, had purchased two of the leading companies in the blindness technology market, Henter Joyce and Blasey Engineering, thus at last putting Ted Henter and Dean Blasey in the same company. The takeover wasn't hostile. On the contrary, it was actively encouraged by both Dean Blasey and Ted Henter. Well, on the line with us now is Ted Henter, now one of the vice presidents of Freedom Scientific, and that's a name that we're all going to be getting used to over the next little while. Ted, tell us, why is this, first of all, a good business move for Henter Joyce to have made?
Dean Blasey and I have been friends for 20 years. I bought my first talking computer from him in 1980, and I worked with him for about 4 years, from 81 to 85, and we've been friends ever since. He's given me a lot of good advice over the years as far as running a business, developing products, things like that. And I think I've helped him out a little bit, too, on such questions. And our products, you know, work together. We don't compete. Our products work well together. So we've always kind of had this in mind. We wanted to get together on a more formal basis, to get our companies together. But that's hard to do when you have two very independent, small companies like ours. So when we met this fellow, Dick Chandler, who is the CEO and president of Freedom Scientific, we started talking to him, and one thing led to another. It looked like that would be the proper vehicle to do this, to merge the two companies. Having an outside entity to kind of organize it and finance it and be the boss, so to speak. You know, neither Dean or I are taking control of the company. There's a third party. So that just worked out real good. Both of us were quite happy with that kind of arrangement. You know, I didn't want to work for him. He didn't want to work for me. I didn't want him running my company and vice versa. It's all those ego type of things, among other practical considerations. So having a third party involved it just worked out really well. So we feel the big advantage here is our products already work well together. We'll be able to focus on some development efforts together, on some sales and marketing efforts together. The company together has more resources to develop new products and to refine the products that we have. So overall, it looks like a very good situation going forward.
On the program to talk about this is Jim Fruchterman of Ark and Stone. Thanks for joining us, Jim. When did Freedom Scientific actually start to talk turkey with you guys?
They approached us last year, but we didn't take the discussions that seriously. And I think that we actively began discussions, say, sometime early this year, and concluded an agreement in May.
What was the reason for giving them a brush off in the first place and then reconsidering?
Well, I think our initial reaction to anyone talking to a nonprofit about buying them was that, hey, we're a nonprofit and we're not interested. And I think that Dick Chandler took our comments and came back and talked to us about what our goals were and what we wanted to achieve, and then tried to craft a proposal that enabled the Ark and Stone team to be able to do the sort of things that we wanted to do long term and allow Freedom Scientific to gain access to the leading reading product.
So let's just be clear then, what is it that Freedom Scientific has actually acquired now?
Freedom has bought assets from Ark and Stone, which is a nonprofit organization in the U.S. The assets they've acquired are primarily those associated with the business operations of our Open Book, Vera, and Win reading products. And a handful of Ark and Stone employees are going to join Freedom as employees, as well as they're also purchasing the trade name Ark and Stone, which is necessitating that we change our name. And right now we're still going through that process, but the assumption is that we'll be using the name Benetech, which is short for Beneficial Technology, and that our new website, say in another month or two, will be benetech.org.
And you're remaining with Benetech, I understand. You're sticking around in California.
Yes, that's correct. Our goal to use the proceeds of this sale is to develop new technology for people with disabilities. And as part of that, the engineering team of Ark and Stone is staying here in California and continuing to develop, first of all the products we've been working on for at least the next 6 to 12 months. And then, secondly, to expand our operations to do new projects that are either related to that or unrelated to that, but all in the area of access technology.
Freedom Scientific announces senior management changes. St. Petersburg, Florida, March 9, 2001. Freedom Scientific, Inc. announced the following changes in the senior management of its blindness/low vision group headquartered in St. Petersburg, Florida. Ted Henter, Vice President, Advanced Development and Software Products, will assume a new role as Senior Consultant to the company. Henter was the founder and former owner of Henter Joyce Inc., which Freedom Scientific acquired in April 2000. He will advise the company on technical matters and assist Freedom Scientific in its expanding partnership relationships in the blindness and low vision industry. Dean Blasey, Vice President, Advanced Development and Software Products, has also become a Senior Consultant on Technical and Industry Matters. Blasey was the founder and former owner of Blasey Engineering, acquired by Freedom Scientific in April 2000. Jerry Grebeck, President of the Freedom Scientific Blindness and Low Vision Group, praised Ted Henter and Dean Blasey for their continued contributions to the advancement of assistive technology products benefiting the blind and low vision community. With many former companies being integrated into our new group structure, Ted and Dean concluded that it was an appropriate time to shift into a consultancy role, Grebeck said. This allows them more time to pursue personal interests while continuing to provide their counsel to the company and participate in industry forums as representatives of Freedom Scientific. Freedom Scientific also announced that Brian Blasey, Vice President, Product Management, has resigned to pursue other interests. Brian made many important contributions in his 13-year tenure with Blasey Engineering while fulfilling a variety of key assignments in sales, marketing, and product development. Freedom Scientific, Inc. emerged as the largest manufacturer of software and hardware for people with vision impairments in the United States when it was formed by a merger of Henter Joyce, Blasey Engineering, and Ark and Stone in early 2000. The consolidation of these companies brought together expertise in the development and manufacturing of both hardware and software assistive technology products.
GW Micro also had some very exciting announcements. We bring those to you from the year 2003 on Main Menu.
So can we go through some of those new features that you were showing off at CSUN? And I suppose one thing that is truly unique in the industry is the Citrix support.
Well, that's certainly the biggest thing that we've added that generated the most interest at the show, where people were coming over just to see that and just in amazement of how it worked. There were some presentations talking about the inaccessibility of Citrix and terminal services in general, and that at least that's the way that they were going to word all of their presentations, and obviously after they saw what we had, they kind of had to do a double take on that and change a little bit of what they were about to say, because it can be made accessible. So we have been working very, very closely with Citrix. They've been extremely friendly and eager to get this all working, as are we. And so we've worked with them behind the scenes for a little while and did did some things on their end, our end, or whatever, and we were able to show a very impressive demo at CSUN, where we had a laptop sitting over there with a Windows 2000 server on it, and we had a couple other machines that were connected to it through a LAN, and we could actually log into a session running WindowEyes on that session, and it was fully accessible as if you were actually sitting at that terminal. So it was kind of boring to demonstrate because how do you show that? It just works. It's just like you were sitting at your desktop. But when you think about what's going on, it was very, very impressive.
So could you explain in greater depth then for people who aren't familiar with Citrix at all what it is and why this is such a breakthrough?
Sure. Citrix is one form of allowing you to have a server system sitting someplace that has all the applications that you would ever want to use or all of your employees or whoever that may be that may want to use. So you install Office, you install whatever applications you want on that server on one machine. And then through the miracle of terminal services and Citrix Metaframe, that server can then be connected to by several client systems who can connect into it, log in what they call kind of a virtual machine, or a thin client environment. It's got several names, which basically is kind of a dumb terminal, effectively. Everything is being run on the server side. So all the CPU horsepower, all the applications, everything is being done on the server side. So the advantage of that, obviously, is the system administrator just has to worry about this one server machine or however many servers they may have, but they just have to maintain that one system versus having to install everything on all client machines and things like that and get them all working and whatever, it can all be handled on one side. So it's very attractive from an administrative standpoint, which is why this technology is taking off. The problem is that in the past anyway, is once you start up that session from your client, your assistive technology products just die, whether it's screen enlargement, whether it was a screen reader, it would just go silent, and you would hear absolutely nothing while you're on that session. Visibly, of course, everything's working, and it looks like a whole new desktop in that little window. But from accessibility standpoint, it was quiet. And so that's the problem, and that's how we actually worked with Citrix to get WindowEyes itself to be run on the server side so that it runs just like any other application, and the information is then ported over to the client side.
Obviously, with screen readers, responsiveness is really critical, and WindowEyes is an extremely responsive screen reader. Are there issues in getting responsiveness really nice and snappy with this kind of thing?
Well, there's lots of ways of looking at all of this, how it connects and how that would affect interruptibility and just responsiveness in general and that type of thing. At CSUN, what we were doing is we were using an external synthesizer, the DeckTalk Express, hooked up through a serial port. So on the server side, the WindowEyes was configured to connect to a DeckTalk Express, but it was configured to port its output to the client side. And in that case, you couldn't really tell the difference. We're running on a local LAN, 100 megabit, LAN system there. You couldn't really tell that you were running through a Citrix session. It was that response.